You've been faithful, you've been true, and you've done all that you could do. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. You applauded for the rest. Now is your time to be blessed. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. You've been faithful.
You've been faithful. You've been true.
And you've done all.
This is light to guide our feet, the 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Acts Chapter 18, the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, the reading begins at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The confrontational nature of Christian witness. The confrontational nature of Christian witness. Our topic for today, as we, you and I, examine the Word of God, particularly that portion contained in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. We see Paul in the book of Acts in a number of interesting situations, to say the least. We find him in a number of confrontational situations. But it is so important that every Christian understands how the Apostle Paul dealt with confrontation, and how he also confronted with the Word of God. I am of the ministerial opinion that confrontation in witness is failing today, and I believe we have evidence of that failure. In the entire world, there seems to be, from my perspective, some slacking in confrontation as it respects Christian witness. Now, I'm not speaking of violent confrontation, nor of any kind of vengeful confrontation. I am not speaking of evil confrontation. I am not speaking of ungodly confrontation, but I do speak of godly confrontation. From the outset of the establishment of Christianity, there has been confrontation. Mark reports in Mark chapter 1 concerning Jesus is beginning to preach. Mark says in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, "Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" That's a sermon that Jesus preached. A sermon that Jesus preached. The confrontational nature of Christian ministry. In Acts chapter 17, we find Paul at the Areopagus in Athens confronting people who were worshiping an idol god or idol gods and even had an altar to the unknown God. And there Paul confronted them and told them that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Here in Acts chapter 18, we see Paul now having departed from Athens and coming to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, and of course his wife Priscilla, and they were tent makers, and so apparently Paul abode with them for a while and they practiced their crafts. Many of you may have heard Christians who say that they are tent makers. A Christian tent maker is normally one who goes to a place and works a secular job during the daytime, or at least part of his time, and the other part is spent in being a missionary or ministering in some fashion. That's what we call a Christian tent maker. Paul did manual labor, it appeared. He worked with his hands, helping to earn the money he needed. And so, being with Aquila and Priscilla, who were tent makers, he also engaged in the craft because he was also a tent maker. But verse 4 says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. You see, some of you don't get to that and part. You only do a secular job, but you won't go out and do the witnessing work of the Lord. And perhaps for some of you it's because you're lazy. For others of you, you don't want to be confrontational. And I fear that for many others of you, you do not want to be confrontational. That is, you want to keep peace with everyone. Someone would say, well, Reverend, don't we read in the Bible, blessed are the peacemakers? Yes, my son, we do read that. Yes, my daughter, we do read that, but we do not make peace with sin. We witness to sinners. We point out the sin and we point them to repentance. I believe it is at least part of our problem and part of our current condition results from a lack of proper confrontation in ministry. It has to, my brethren, my preachers, my brother preachers, brother bishops, I don't want to falsely accuse, but in my mind, if the church had been being what it needed to be during the past 30 years, there would not be so many people pushing homosexual activity. There would not be so many people pushing gambling. And I want to do an outtake here, my brothers. For years, I worked against lottery. But state after state legalized lottery. Till finally, there were one or two holdouts. If I'm not in error, I believe now every American state has lottery. If I am in error, then I apologize. But in my mind, the states that were the holdouts were the states that held off God's wrath. Lottery was the magic solution for education, for money. I drove this state that I'm in, North Carolina, distributing literature concerning lottery. I published on the internet, and my articles were published in other forms. Some, at least one I know at a major university years ago. And we held off the lottery for many years. I believe the major university published my article back in the 1990s. But finally, in the 21st century, lottery also got North Carolina. Shortly thereafter, when the holdout states had approved lottery, everybody had the magic solution to money problems. The economy of the nation went through the floor, and that of the world began to sag badly, looking for solutions in ungodly places. Economy so bad, they talked about recession. Worse since such and such year, they would say. I had told them, and not only I, but many others, at least some others, that lottery, that gambling is a cursed way to fund a government. Not only that, it wasn't the first time the U.S. had tried it. And the experience was back in the 1890s, Congress passed laws forbidding the interstate transportation of lottery materials. Lottery became illegal. They had had lottery. You see, we repeat the same mistakes. I told them that back in the 1990s in my articles. I brought to the fore the history of lottery in America, and that they had done away with it in the 1890s. They did away with it. But yet, by 2000, lottery again had the U.S., and by 2009 and 2010, the economy had gone so far down, millions out of work, the world economy also beginning a devastating plunge. I'm talking about the confrontational nature of Christian witness. We must confront sin. The prevalence of large numbers of people supporting homosexual activity is a testimony against the success of the Christian church, particularly in the United States of America. The prevalence of substantial numbers of people supporting lottery is a testimony against the success of the Christian church in the United States of America. The prevalence of so many people supporting abortion is a testimony against the success of the Christian church in the United States of America. Why? Because had we been as confrontational in witness as we should have been over the last 40 years, this never would have happened. But no, we went along to get along. No, we did not want to be different. We wanted to fit in. And when I say we, I don't mean everyone. Except I do mean everyone that did that. I am not saying every single Christian did that, but I do speak of every Christian that did do that. And many of you still are going along to get along. And I come to call your attention to the confrontational nature of Christian ministry. And if you really want to discern and understand the confrontational nature of Christian ministry, you need to sit down and do an in-depth study of the book of Acts. From the day of Pentecost forward, we saw confrontation after confrontation, not just by Paul, but by Peter and John and the others. Before Jesus had been gone back to heaven 3 months, they were in confrontation. They were put on hold, as it were. They were being questioned about their preaching in the name of Jesus. They were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were specifically commanded that they not speak in the name of Jesus. We see particularly in the book of Acts, chapter 4, where Peter and those are brought before the council. I want to read this for you. Some of you don't know this, because I'm speaking about the confrontational nature of Christian ministry, of Christian witness. I'm afraid many pastors are not bringing this to the fore. I'm afraid many elders are not bringing this to the fore. I'm afraid many bishops are not bringing this to the fore. If they were, there wouldn't be so many people supporting homosexual activity. There would not be so many people supporting abortion. There would not be so many people supporting lottery. There would not be so many people supporting other types of sin. The church must own this failure. The church must own this failure, and particularly the church in the United States of America. We must own this failure. Failure to understand the confrontational nature of Christian witness. Come with me. Come with me to Acts chapter 4. Come with me to Acts chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But let it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on which this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 31. That last verse may be the most telling of all. These people, those Christians, those first century Christians that we just read about, that I just read about in the Bible, they had the Holy Ghost. How many people in your church today are filled with the Holy Ghost? How many people in your church today are filled with the Holy Ghost, Reverend, Bishop, Pastor? I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just asking you a simple question. How many people in your church today are filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, Reverend, I don't know, Pastor Page. I don't know. I don't ask that question. I just preach. Anyway, Pastor Page, how do you get people filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, my dear brother, I recommend three special activities. Reading the Word of God every day in healthy proportions, in healthy portions. Praying without ceasing. Praying as often as you can. Fasting. And that prayer includes corporate prayer meeting during the week. If your church does not have a weekly prayer and praise service, it may be dying spiritually. If your church does not have a weekly prayer and praise service, it may be dying spiritually. Well, Reverend, we have Bible study and 2,000 people come. That's great. But do you pray? Do you pray? Do you pray? Do the people pray together? And what's this stuff about applauding? What about amen? What about hallelujah? What about raising your hands to God with uplifted hands saying, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah? I didn't come to accuse you, but I think we are accused by the numbers of supporters of abortion, homosexual activity, lottery, as well as fornication, as well as adultery. I could name them right on down the line. The numbers accuse us. And I do not believe that God excuses us. There is a confrontational aspect in Christian witness. We see it throughout the Holy Bible, but particularly in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ and in the life and ministry of the first apostles, and particularly again in the book of Acts. And just what I read to you, some of you are not familiar with the man that was healed, so just to make sure that you understand what was being talked about there, I want to take you back a minute in the Bible to Acts chapter 3. So turn back a page to Acts chapter 3. You heard me read in Acts chapter 4 that the leaders were upset because a man had been healed. So not to leave you hanging on that, let me read that into your hearing so you can put that together if you happen not to be a church person. Acts chapter 3. This will give you the crime, quote unquote, the apostles did to be drugged before the council. This is their crime here. Listen, quote unquote, their crime, quote unquote. I'm talking about the confrontational nature of Christian witness. Acts chapter 3, beginning reading at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and delivered a murderer to be granted unto you. Read it once again, verse 14 of Acts chapter 3. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 3. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 3. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. My friends, you have to see, you must see the confrontational nature of Christian witness. the confrontational nature of Christian witness. We began this worship session in Acts chapter 18. And let us end now with the word of the Lord to Paul concerning witnessing in a troubled and dangerous environment. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9, we read, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." Those are words that the Lord told Paul in a dangerous atmosphere and a dangerous environment. I'm talking to you about the confrontational nature of Christian witness. Yes, things can make us afraid. But in Acts chapter 18, verse 9, the Lord tells Paul, be not afraid. Yes, things can make some people stop speaking. But the Lord says to Paul in Acts chapter 18, verse 9, but speak, but speak, but speak, but speak. He said, be not afraid, but speak. Fear and the nature of dangerous atmospheres can cause some people to hold their peace. But the Lord commands Paul, and hold not thy peace. That's a command from the Lord to the Apostle Paul in a dangerous environment. Then he gives him this assurance. In Acts chapter 18, verse 10, the Lord says to Paul, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And we read in the next verse, Acts chapter 18, verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Acts chapter 18, verse 11. I've been talking to you about the confrontational nature of Christian ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us, for there are numbers and situations that testify against the Christian church. But yet the gates of hell, even though the numbers have increased in terms of people who have obtain sinful opinions, yet the gates of hell have not prevailed against us. And they never will, because Jesus said that they never will. But forgive us for our weakened state. Move yourself on your throne on behalf of the Christian church. Move yourself on your throne on behalf of the Christian church. Father God, in the name of Jesus, according to thy perfect will, I beseech thee, move yourself on your throne on behalf of the Christian church. In Jesus' name, I pray and I thank thee for it. Amen, amen, and amen. This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page.